We are continuing our Advent sermon series, and last week we talked about Christmas with Matthew. This morning we're talking about Christmas with Mark. So I invite you to take your Bible or your order of worship today, and we'll be reading along in the Gospel of Mark. We're thinking about what Mark has to say to us about Jesus. So this morning we're reading Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Christmas with Mark. The scripture says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teachings because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure or evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." And the impure, evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to impure or evil spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. May God bless the reading of this word this morning. As we sit by the Christmas fire, we sat with Matthew last week, and this week we sit with Mark. And our purpose is the same. We ask Mark this week, who do you want us to know Jesus is? What is it that is your unique slant or perspective on Jesus? This opening picture in the Gospel of Mark gives us the best clue as to what Mark wants us to know. Mark introduces us here to a world that is unfamiliar to many of us. It is a world filled with and inhabited by demons and evil spirits. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus spends a great deal of his time exorcising or casting out demons. Now, belief in demons was just one way that the ancient or biblical people understood or tried to explain the existence of evil in the world today. The world of demons helped them to understand why some children are born twisted or sick. Demons and evil spirits help them to grasp and understand and try to see why some people are blind and others are mute and some are ailing and some are given to fits. During his ministry, there were times when people came to Jesus and they said to him, "Jesus, he throws himself into the water. Sometimes, Jesus, he throws himself into the fire. Can you help him, Jesus? He has a demon." You see, this was one way that the people tried to grasp the immensity of evil and to account for its existence in the world. These are important thoughts this morning. How do you account for evil? How do you explain all the evil that exists in our world today? Do you agree with the phrase that we often read in the insurance world that when a tragedy happens, it is an act of God? I don't. I don't particularly like or buy into that frame of reference of understanding that a loving God would create these tragic events in the world. But if we choose not to accept that, how do we explain evil? Do you follow in the Gospel of Mark the existence of demons? Not all, but many people in the biblical world believe that evil came about because of these evil spirits. They had rebelled against God, and now they spent all of their time and effort and energy attacking people, causing pain and heartache and destruction in the lives of innocent people. They twisted and broke and fractured human life every opportunity they got. The Apostle Paul believed in this world. He believed there were demons above, There were demons around. There were demons and evil spirits below. That is why in his writing, when he says, ultimately, when Jesus conquers evil, every knee will bow. And do you remember how he said it? Every knee in heaven, every knee on earth, and every knee under the earth. You see, Paul understood the world as being inhabited by these evil spirits that brought about destruction. Now, John, in his gospel, never mentions evil spirits, but Matthew and Luke, and especially Mark. In these gospels, these evil spirits are everywhere. They're in the water. They are in the air. They are harming and hurting and bringing about destruction. These demons were one way of accounting for the evil in our world today. Now, there were other ways that the biblical people understood evil. If it was because of an action that a human being did, then the Jewish explanation made sense. They believed that every person had two yetzers in his or her life. There was a yetzer harora and a yetzer hator. And the yetzer harora was an evil spirit, and the yetzer hator was a good spirit. And they were constantly doing battle in our lives. And whenever these two spirits, these two yetzers, were in harmony, and when they were balanced, it created an experience called shalom, peace. Today, we light the candle of peace. It is that understanding of harmony, goodwill in our lives. But whenever the evil yetzer gained power, destruction, pain, heartache came about. The destruction of peace. Well, that was another way to explain evil. But even when it gets bigger, when it moves beyond what a human being decides or the choices that they make, then how do we account for evil? Some look to the moon. In the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4, Jesus heals an epileptic. But the Greek word in Matthew chapter 4 is not the word for epilepsy. It is actually the word that means struck by the moon. Jesus healed someone who was struck by moonbeams. Others say, no, it's not the moon, it's the stars. What star were you born under? What's your sign? What is your horoscope? Oh, you're a Virgo. Well, that explains why you do the things that you do, right? What star were you born under? These concepts are a way of understanding why things happen the way they do. This idea lingers in our vocabulary today. We hear someone say, it struck me the other day. Well, what struck you? You see, it's something out there that invades our lives, influences us, and affects us. Or we hear someone say, I don't know what got into me. Do you hear it? It's something out there that comes into me and influences and affects my behavior. I have temporarily been taken over by something else. What are we talking about? We're talking about ways we try to explain the existence of evil in our world today. You see, we need to understand why evil exists. There is an innate part of us that wants to know, why do bad things happen? Why do we struggle? Why do we have difficulties with these things? And demons were one way of understanding why bad things happen. Now, someone may say, I don't believe in evil spirits. I don't believe in demons. That's fine. But you still have to grapple with the reality of evil. If we sit down by the Christmas fire with Matthew, here's what Matthew will say to us. You want to know who I think Jesus is? Jesus is the opponent of evil. Mark. That's who Mark says Jesus is, not Matthew. Matthew said Jesus is teacher. Mark says Jesus is the opponent of evil. And what he says to us is this: you have to be a very discerning person like Jesus in order to understand and to work against evil. Why is discernment so important? Well, you remember, when this strange man comes, or when Jesus comes into the synagogue, this strange man begins to convulse and he begins to move around. And this possessed man says something very clear in this gospel. He says, Jesus, we know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Do you remember? It was a confession of faith. Isn't that interesting? The first confession of faith in the Gospel of Mark is by a man possessed by a demon. He says, Jesus, we know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that great? Right here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, someone says, you are the Holy One of God. But how does Jesus respond? Be quiet, Jesus says. Why? Why be quiet? Isn't he right? Isn't the demon correct? Jesus is the Holy One of God. Isn't this wonderful that even the demons are confessing who he is? It doesn't seem to be. Jesus tells him to be quiet. Why would he tell him to be quiet? In the book of Acts, Paul and his companions are preaching when a servant girl begins following them around. As they're healing people, as they're preaching, she just follows them around. And every once in a while, she'll yell out. And she yells, these men are prophets of the Most High God. They are prophets. She's right. They're prophets. But you know what Paul says? Be quiet. In fact, literally in the Greek, he says, shut up. I know it's not a nice word, but that's what it says in the Greek. Shut up. Paul didn't want him to say these words. In Luke chapter 11, there is a man who is mute. He cannot speak. We are told that he is in this condition because he has a demon. But in Luke chapter 1, there is a man who also cannot speak. And we are told it is by the power of God that he cannot speak. Well, which is it? Is it the power of God or is it demons, evil? You see, it takes a lot of discernment to know what is right from that which just looks and sounds right. At graduation ceremonies, we'll often hear a person or a speaker say to the graduates, young women and men, you stand at the crossroads. But how often do you really stand at a crossroads in life? It's easy when you stand at an intersection and this way goes in one direction and this way goes in a completely different direction. It's easy to make a decision there, but what about when you stand and there are two paths in front of you and it looks like they go in the same direction? What do? It takes a lot of discernment. It takes a lot of spiritual discernment to know what is right from that which just looks and seems to be right. Jesus screamed at demons who resided in the clergy of his day. Demons in the preachers. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus even one time turned and looked at someone and he said, get behind me, Satan. And he was speaking to one of his very best friends, Peter. You see, that's discernment. The God-given ability to recognize what is evil, even when it may not seem like it is evil. That's what Mark says we need. Spiritual discernment. For let's be honest. Evil does not come to us in our lives saying, hey, I'm the devil. I'm here to destroy your life today. That's not how evil comes to us. The reality is, evil often comes looking and sounding like something that is good and righteous, and it takes discernment to know whether that's true or not. Remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The serpent didn't come and say, I'm going to destroy your life, and when you follow me, you'll be kicked out of here and your life will be miserable. No. The serpent said, do you want to be like God? It was a call up that did them in, not a call down. You see, that's spiritual discernment. The need for spiritual discernment, the God-given ability to recognize what is truly evil in our lives. We don't know how to embrace or to oppose the things in our world today unless we have that kind of spiritual discernment. As we said last week, the ethical and moral situations of our lives and of our world today are complicated matters. It takes a lot of discernment to know that which is right from that which just looks and sounds like it's right. Mark says to us, pray for discernment. During this Advent season, ask God to give you spiritual discernment. But be forewarned. When you gain this discernment, and when you stand against evil, evil often comes after you. Remember, it was when Jesus walked into the room that the demons started to stir. It was when Jesus came in that the demon said, "We know who you are. We know why you are here." Well, the presence of evil, the presence of Jesus, sometimes it causes evil to begin to move and to work. You see, when you turn on a light, you get light, but you also create shadows. And when Jesus comes, sometimes his very presence stirs up evil that was just kind of sitting around silently. If you don't believe me, then this week, try to genuinely love other people. I mean it. This week, try to love other people without any partiality. Regardless of who they are, regardless of what they've done, you just decide to love them. And see if you might not start getting some nasty emails. Some mean-spirited looks because you're loving the wrong people. So you might just stir up some evil when you try to love other people. Or what about if you just decide, this week I'm going to tell the truth. In every situation in love, I'm going to speak the truth and only the truth. If you decide to do that today, see if you can get to next weekend without causing some problems in your life. See if good intentions don't start stirring up some evil. You see, in our world today, all you have to do is strive to do what is good and righteous. All you have to do is try to do the right thing. Just try to love people. Just try to be honest. And see if somebody can't find a reason to question your motives. It may even get ugly. All you have to do is care. All you have to do is love. And you don't even have to do that very much. And you will begin to stir up some evil. But when evil comes after you, remember that it is the goodness and righteousness of Jesus Christ that holds you safe. Jesus is the opponent of evil. And when Jesus and evil are in the same place, there's going to be conflict. During this Advent season, read Mark's Gospel. Listen to his words. As you read Mark, ask yourself, who is he saying Jesus is? Mark, what are you trying to teach me about Jesus? For if you listen very closely, I think Mark will say, Jesus is the opponent of evil. And if you don't want to be hurt by the evil around you, stay very close to Jesus. For it is only in the presence and the grace of Jesus Christ that we find the power and the ability to discern what is right from what just seems to be right. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this day we are grateful for your word and we're grateful for this picture of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the ability to stand against evil through the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. And we pray for the discernment that he can give to each one of us. Now, Lord, we ask that you lead us and guide us and direct us as we seek to live in your ways. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.